Blog Talk Radio.
Hey girls, and what up dudes? I'm so glad you're joining me today. This is your girl Princess with Truth Heals Hurt Radio. I'm excited to have my writing sister Sharita Smith and Ezra Dennis, my cousin and friend, on my show today. Sharita is here to talk to us about the rejection and hurt she has had to deal with when it comes to parents' love. And Ezra is going to talk to us about how God delivered him from porn. Our show will continue to be brought to you by Brown Girls Books and anyone else who will submit their business info by email. It's free advertisement, so it's up to you. Tweet, text, Facebook, and let somebody know we're getting ready to start this show. Ready, set, let's hear. Okay, hello everyone, and for those of you that are tuning in, I am so grateful for you and taking the time out to listen. Now, before I bring Sharita on, I want to say to my listening audience, that my show is based on truth, and it's the truth of the person and not your truth. So if you hear something that you don't like or something that you don't agree with, it's not your truth. It's a person telling the story. You have the right to sign up and come and be a part of my show and tell your side of the story also. I'm not here to start anything. I'm here to help others heal. A lot of times we deal with pain. It's major pain, and people don't realize that this pain is no joke because it lives with us every day. So I am so excited today to be saying hello to my sister, Sharita. How are you today?
I'm okay. Thank you.
Okay, I'm so excited. Yes, I'm so excited. I have to get used to this slow delay, so forgive me if I sound like I'm talking over you. I'm not trying to. It's just I'm used to the regular flow. But anyway, today, Sharita's going to talk to us about being left behind. Now, I can promise you that I've only dealt with situations when it pertains to my father, but my mother has always been there for me. She even calls in to listen to the show, and she knows that her daughter is super crazy. So, Sharita, first, let's start off with when you were born. Talk to me about that.
When I was born, as the story was told to me, I was 7 months old when my mom brought me to my father's house, to his mother, because he was in the war. And so she left me there at the doorstep. And so my grandmother didn't know her son was expecting a baby or anything like that. But, of course, she took me in because she said she needed help or whatever. And that she would be back to get me. Well, that didn't happen. And that's okay because I had a great life. But at the same time, that's where it started.
Yeah,
and
it hurts.
So I remember her coming to get me maybe when I was like 4 or 5. And my grandmother said I didn't want to go. But when I went, anyway, I didn't want to be with her because I didn't know her. And then when I got there is when I met my brother, who would have been at that time like 7.
Okay.
And once I got to know him, then I loved him because she introduced me to, you know, that's my brother, whatever. And so we just bonded from that point. And so, but anyway, so at that time, without telling his side, but at that time I got to know him. That's when she received him, I guess, or whatever. So she wanted us to get to know each other, and so we did, and we bonded. And so I always wanted to go to her house, so I would go, was allowed to go there on the weekend. But the good thing about my grandmother is that I never knew the difference. Like, I didn't know that it was abnormal for me not to be with my mom and to be with her, because I was calling her mom and my grandfather dad, which I still do today. But anyway, she just kept me in things like that. But it's just something how God will give you as you're growing and getting older, God will just begin to work in your life, even when you don't even know anything about what God is doing or understand it because you're so young. So I
right.
had an aunt. So the thing is, it was like a generational curse type thing. So my mom gave me away, and her mom gave a daughter away. Her sister did it. Both her sisters did it.
Oh, wow.
One of her sister's daughters did it. I mean, it's kind of like a disconnect. And so as I got older and I was going, you know, because a lot of times I think the times that I'm in the car by myself without the kids, it must be when I have my thinking time, because that's the most time I talk to God, like, in depth as I'm just driving. And I remember one day because I'm older and I'm, you know, I'm grown and I'm going to work and things like that. And I just remember thinking, why every time I try to get close to her, because even though I was going there the weekends and things like that, I would think we're getting close, but we're not. She's backing up. Every time she gets close, she backs up. So I remember just wondering one day, and I know God does know your heart because he knows what you desire, and I always wanted that closeness, even though I had my grandmother, you know, and she was a great mom. But I remember Oprah was on. I was on listening to XM, and she was talking about a disconnect with her and her baby or whatever she. So anyway, she was talking about the disconnected. And I'm like, wow, so that's what, because she's so disconnected from me. Like she, you know, it was never just real love. It's always like throwing money at me or something like that, and then even not even really wanting to do that. So anyway, as time went on and on and on, my grandmother's son came home, because remember now she's raising me. So he comes home, and I guess at that point he just decides I'm not his daughter.
Right, okay.
But my grandmother, being who she is fine with that. I mean, she says it is, because if a girl says it is, then it is. If a woman says it is, then it is. Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
but
that was his mother, right?
Yeah.
That was his mother.
That raised
okay.
me,
oh.
his parents.
Okay.
And he wasn't doing anything anyway. So he would just always say these really, I'm just kind of speeding it up. He would always just say these really, really cruel things, like, you know, you're not my daughter. I'll be glad when you find your dad. If you do, then let me know. Your body shape is not like ours, and you don't match in this family. He would just say all these things. The best thing I can be is your friend, because regardless of how he acted, I always called him, you know, because to me that was my dad. You know, I'm not thinking anything else. And then,
so he was just, I don't mean to cut you off, but he wasn't, okay, so I don't want to cut you off, but I want to make sure, you know, I help, you know, somebody else with the story, so I want to catch, you know, some of your comments as you're going, okay, if that's okay with you.
That's fine.
So he's saying these things, but he's not raising you, correct?
Correct.
So he's just talking.
He has
talking.
A whole other family, right? Yeah.
Okay, so he's just, his contribution is words.
Exactly. It's
okay,
no,
so that's why
time.
I want to make sure that you understand. Yeah, like it's not like money is coming out of his pocket and stuff like that. So
No. Actually, his parents took care. Even my mom, biological mom, didn't. She didn't contribute either. They did all the taking care and raising and all that.
Wow.
So anyway,
okay.
So then he just, you know, just kept saying stuff. But I was still calling, you know, because to me that was my dad. Not thinking as time went on, but he just kept saying stuff. So I asked my mom one day, like, he is, you know. So then I asked her sister, you know, and then she was like, yeah, baby, you know, one day. But I'm going to tell you how God works, because, you know, you just want to know where you came from. That's just because
right.
it just helps be who you are, you know, and you can't share your history with your children if you don't know who you are.
Right.
So, it was another one of those things where I was praying, and I was like, Lord, she says it, but I don't believe it. And I believe he's telling the truth, but I don't believe her, so I don't know where to start, because I don't know much about her history. I don't know what guys I would go to find. So anyway, it just goes on, and it just goes on. So one day in particular, speeding it up to 3.5 years ago, so one day in particular, I just bought a house or whatever, And so she wanted to go shopping, which she and I had never went shopping together ever before, ever.
And okay, I'm 40, so.
Okay, so at that time I was 40, yeah. So she wanted to go shopping. She was like, well, let's go to Hobby Lobby. Okay, so we're on the way there. Well, she used to tell me this story all the time about her sister and this guy, whatever, they dated. So I heard the story over and over. But this particular day, we were getting along so good, so I'm driving. And then she starts telling me a story, and I'm thinking, oh, well, I already know the story. But then it took a twist. She said, I told you that my sister used to date, because I don't want to say names. So I said, my
right,
sister
I don't
used
want
to date.
You. Yeah.
And so I was like, okay. So I'm thinking, I don't want to ruin it, because this is the best time we're having ever. I feel so connected. Like, really, I never knew you liked house stuff. Like, I like house stuff, you know? So
yeah.
This was after I had prayed, like a week after I prayed, like, Lord, I don't know where to look. And then we're on our way there, and we shop. She's talking, and she's telling me this story, and then I'm like, yeah. But in my head, I'm like, I already know the story. And then she goes, yeah, well, guess what? He had a brother. So I'm like, oh, he did? So I'm thinking, what? Mm-hmm. But, you know, so she says this name, but he says he doesn't want to talk to me anymore. I'm like, how do you know that? Oh, well, I talked to sister on Facebook. Really? So I'm like, oh, okay. So this is a whole different turn. So then when I get home, after we shop, and that day, usually she's like the stingiest with me, but that day she was buying me everything. She even bought me a $250 picture. It was just everything. So then when I get home, I used to watch this show, and it had Lionel Richie on it. It was like, do you know who you are? And I used to tape it. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm DVR, and I'm put it on, and then it hit me. She was telling me who my dad was. So
right.
The craziest thing, I said she saw the sister on Facebook or whatever, and I go on there, and I try to do a little research and, you know, and everything. So I asked my daughter, go on there and look, you know, because she's a teenager. You know, they know all about all that stuff. So she goes on there, and she looks. She goes, who is this lady? Because she told me he wasn't on there, but his sister was, and I remembered the last name. So I went on there and I looked, and she was like, your hands are even shaped like this woman. And I looked just like her. It was
wow.
So then speed it up a little bit. So then I go on Facebook and I look up his name because I'm like, well, if she's telling me about that name, he probably is on there. But it wasn't. It was his son. So I got in touch with his son, and we started talking and everything. He's asking me about Las Vegas. He has no clue. So then I bring it up and tell him I might be his sister. So I said, ask your dad, does he remember? And I give him my mom's name, the year, and all of that. And anyway, long story short, the next day he contacted me and said, yeah. He said, that's our dad. Our dad wants you to call him. And I did. And when I did, the first thing he said is, you know, Sherry, and I'm like, because my name is Sherita, but everybody calls me Sherry. I'm like, how do you know my name? He was like, because she told me that was your name when you were born. I have a picture of you. And, you know, you have my eyes. He starts telling me all his medical history, and he was just so excited because he said it took so many years because he was in California, and she used to go there
right.
As a kid. And then so that's how that happened. Anyway, I ended up meeting them and all of that, and it was great. And I got to see where I came from, and I got to meet my grandmother and all that type of stuff. But at the same time, I'm just saying, like, your journey is your journey, and it's up to you to be responsible, I think, to find your truth. Because you
right.
cannot continue to live a lie or behind the lies that other people want you to live in order to keep a secret. So
right, but let me ask you, did they ever say why that it was important for you not to, you know, like how some people say, well, I was raped or, well, I was something, and so I just did not do, you know, I just didn't tell you because there was something going on. I watched a movie the other day where, you know, somebody was, gave up her child, but she gave it up because she had been with a white guy, you know, and her family was black, and, you know, so, like, people have reasons. So
there's
has anybody said, yeah, what's the reason?
I could never get a reason out of her. She just wanted to be the victim, the person that will pour her. Even though I wasn't mad, I was just happy to find my dad. And I was happy that he loved me, and it wasn't what I thought, and and that I really did find him, and everything within me the whole time was true. Like, I knew something wasn't right. You know, you get a feeling like you just know something's not clicking. It doesn't click, but nobody wants you to dig. And even my grandmother, God bless her, she's just a great, great lady. And she was into that, you know, just leave things alone, and my son is your dad, you know. And so I found, because I didn't want to be a liar, I wanted to keep it true. And so I told her I found my dad, because I didn't want to have a relationship with them, because I had met my aunts and cousins. They had this great big picnic. I drove down, and I just met so many people and family members and that. And I didn't want it to be like I was doing something behind her back, because she had been too good to me, and I wanted to share my truth with her, though I knew it was going to hurt. And, of course, she was angry, because she said, you just didn't stop until you find out. Well, people don't understand, you have to find out, because it's your life.
Right, it's
you
not
know,
personal.
You have an urgency.
Yeah, it's not personal, yeah. Well, it's personal for you, but it's not personal, like a personal attack against, you know, somebody else.
The other people.
Right, the other people. And a lot of people get offended by you trying to search, but it's something missing, I know, for you. You know, because I never understood my dad would have other children by other people. I'm like, you're not taking care of the children you got. So what you keep doing that for? You know what I'm saying? So for me, I just wanted to know why, you know, so I can get you having questions, because just we didn't ask to come here, first of all.
Right, exactly.
But it was, you know, ordained by God, because, you know, we came through God. You know, those people were vessels. Yeah. So.
And then one of those things that I learned on that, when I was listening to that Oprah show that day, it was just really deep, and she was saying that, you know, you're not a mistake.
Right.
God used them as a vessel to get you here, because you have a purpose, and you have a great purpose, and that's why you're here. And it doesn't matter about how you got here, if you're here.
Right. You are
and
here,
so
yeah.
And so the thing is, yeah, and then once, it was funny because my grandmother's son, which was my dad, is my dad, whatever, he always told me, well, when you find him, let me know. I doubt you'll find him. Well, when I did, I let him know, and he was the angriest. Well, I'm your dad. So now he's my dad.
Oh, that's too much. That's too much.
But
we
yeah,
can't go
yeah.
back.
He's my dad, and he don't want to hear about it. But I have my dad, and you know, and it's great because he loves me, and he doesn't lie. He tells the truth. And so, you know, and it's funny because then you get to see where you came from. I had like a medical situation or whatever, and I had surgery and on my colon and stuff, a piece cut out. Anyway, the first conversation, he wanted to tell me all about the medical, and that was the first thing he mentioned. He has colon problem. His brother had colon problem. His mom had colon. Everybody has knee surgery. And so you just need to know these things, because you don't know, you know. It was good to find them. At the same time, it was kind of messed up because they had so many problems, and all my grandmother and them had was arthritis.
So, Sarita, do you have, what is, because you have children, correct?
I do.
Okay, so how many kids do you have?
I have three.
Okay, so are all the kids with you, did that cycle continue, or because of what happened to you, you decided you're going to try to be the best mother that you know how?
I didn't decide that. I think I had a great, great example with my grandmother.
Okay.
Because
my
grandparents were great parents. You know, like I said, I never was without anything or lacking anything or anything like that. And I don't think I really recognized that it was a difference. I didn't even know it was a difference until my aunt came here that my mom's mom gave away to her sister to raise it as an infant. I didn't even know it was a difference until she came here as an adult, and she was angry and mad about her situation and what happened to her. She's the one that opened my eyes to it.
Wow.
And said, you know, we're going to be treated different because, you know, we were the ones that were given away. And I mean, and at that point, I didn't even think about it because it's not something my grandmother really even pressed upon. I mean, I was, you know, just taken care of, actually a spoiled child. So I didn't really know, but she brought her evilness into open my eyes as a kid. I think I was like sixth grade, you know, and I I didn't have a clue, actually. And like I said, you know, but it was okay. And like now I found my dad, but I just, like I said, you know, my thing is just, if, you know, people like, even like as far as doing the show today, you know, nobody wanted me to do it. My grandmother didn't want me to do it. But you have to do, I find, what frees you, what God gives
yes.
you in your heart
yes.
to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it frees you and it may free someone else. And that's the part that, you know, I don't live in behind secrets and lies and things like that and justifications and things. And because when I lay my head down at night on my pillow, it needs to be clear.
Right.
And
then, you know, they have
be.
A saying where they say truth will set you free. I'm telling you
mm-hmm.
that the reason why the show is called Truth Heals Hurt is because that's the only way I'm still here today, is that I started dealing with the truth about me, about, you know, what had
mm-hmm.
happened in my life. And it's not always good, and it does not make everybody happy, but the bottom line to it is it's the truth. According to Princess, it's the truth according to Sherita. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's our
truth. Exactly.
And people will come, like you said, people didn't want you to be on the show, but I truly appreciate you stepping out, because it is difficult when you have family members and friends and you're telling your story and most of them are going to be looked at as the bad people. So I do want to say something to the people that are listening to Sherita's story. And, you know, you may say, well, she's bad-mouthing her family. This is not something she's doing purposely. This is her truth. This is what has hurt her. And unfortunately, people are involved. And so I just thank you for being transparent. If you'll do me a favor, Sherita, hold on a minute. We're going to do our commercial breaks, and I will be right back, okay?
Okay, no problem. Mm-hmm.
Sunny weather calls for sundresses and sandals. Make sure your skin is soft and radiant with skin luxuries from Sassy Soul, Soy Bath and Beauty. We handmake skin slushes, sugar scrubs, body drizzles, and soy massage candles just for you. Each product is handmade and created from soy. Call us at 678-379-9585. Email us at sassysoulsoy@yahoo.com. That's sassysoulsoy@yahoo.com. Check out our Facebook page, Sassy Soul Soy. Don't forget, Mother's Day is May 10th. Call us to find out what our Mother Day specials are. Administrative Professionals Day is April 22nd, and Nurses Week, May 6th through 12th. Make somebody special's day special with the gift of soy. I look forward to hearing from you.
Hi, I'm Rashonda Tate Billingsley, and by now we hope you've heard how we're changing the game with our boutique publishing company, Brown Girls Publishing. Victoria Christopher Murray and I founded the company because while we've both been blessed to still have careers as successful authors, we knew that because of the changing industry, there were many talented writers who weren't having the opportunity to let their voice be heard. The paradigm has shifted in film and TV and music as artists take control of their destiny. We're hoping to do that in the literary industry by bringing you quality fiction from fan favorites and fresh voices in every genre. Victoria and I personally edit every book to make sure you're getting quality stories. New titles are added every month. So come on over to browngirlspublishing.com and order some books and support these awesome writers. You'll be glad you did. Brown Girls Publishing, where the game has changed.
Okay, we're back with my guest, Sherita, who I consider to be my writing sister. We're blessed to be together because of Victoria Christopher Murray. I'm always saying I'm so grateful because I think we connected for more than one reason. Sherita, I find you to be a very strong and powerful woman. I do. I look at your posts, I see and hear your struggle. So before I finish, before we get too close to the time to go, tell us some things that are happening with you now, now that you're free.
Oh, now I'm just doing writing and things like that and just learning more and more about the craft. Like you said, that we come together through Victoria, Christopher Murray, and UI and Rochelle. And so we're like sisters, pretty much. And so we've written a book together, so, you know, we're working on that and different things like that. And so now I just basically get to do the things that I've always wanted to do. And then still every day is still just a little bit of a hurt, maybe a little bit, but, you know, you just pray your way through it and it's okay. And I just feel like people have a choice. If they want to be involved in your life, I don't reach out with her anymore, because I did that. And I did that because of the scripture, honor thy mother and thy father, and thy days shall be long.
Mm-hmm.
But I've since come to learn that, you know, scripture is what sets you free. It doesn't hold you and keep you in bondage.
Right.
And I found myself to reach out, but she kept pushing back, and I was so frustrated all these years. And finally, once that scripture became very clear to me, and one, I was talking to another author, Candy Jackson, is like a big sister, and going over those things. And so, you know, and then I know just the word of God just sets you free. It doesn't keep you in bondage. And so I had to learn that.
And Candy is a good person to talk to. Yeah. I had to throw that in there. I enjoyed my conversation with her.
God just put all these great, great people in my life once I began to really get out with the writing. And people that's been close to you your whole life and you know, and I want to say this too, when you have friends that are really, really close to you and they're like your best friend, and they don't believe your truth, that's a problem.
That's hurtful.
You just want to start problems and you're just trying to bring up some drama. And then when it was true, she felt so bad, but we were never close again. Because I feel like if I'm telling you my truth and I'm telling you it's not to create drama, it's to clear my life. It's so I can live. You know, it's like air to me. You know, you breathe it and you learn and you go on from there. You don't get stuck in it. You don't hold people. Even at the time, I was even telling my mom, you know, I just want us all to just love each other. I'm so happy I found them. I was so good. And, you know, after all that time, 40-something years, the next day she sent me a picture on the phone of her and my dad when they were teenagers. So I just want to know where she's been holding this picture. You know what I mean? So I'm like, what? But, you know, the thing was, I wasn't angry. I was so excited. Where I become disturbed was, because she wanted to be the victim and say, poor her, and it's not about you. If I can forgive you and we can move on, let's talk about that. So, because I'm into that. I'm not into holding grudges. I'm into moving on.
And so you and Candy have that, too. Candy said that on my show, and I appreciate her for that because, you know, a lot of times when you've been hurt like that, that's not what, you know what I'm saying? You're not quick. Especially when people are not doing better, it's very difficult to forgive people when they're still doing the same things.
It's
like, I see.
And you know, it's the love of God that does that because we couldn't do that in our own strength because in our own nature, we would want to hate them. But because God lives in our heart, we cannot do that.
Yes, and it took me a minute to take that journey because I was just angry. I was just angry with my father. I'm like, you can't do no better ever, you know.
Yeah.
And I see Mr. Dennis, Minister Dennis, on the line. Sarita and I are going to close out, and we're going into his 30 minutes. Sarita, I thank you so much for coming onto the show.
How does someone
contact you if they want to talk to you further or even about the books because you're now a published author. So how do we contact you before you go and leave us?
Well, I'm on Facebook all the time, Sarita L. Smith, and I'm there all the time. You can inbox me or message me. And also my email is gsplwriter@gmail.com, and I'm always open. So
Okay. Well, you're welcome to hang around with us. I'm getting ready to do, Ezra, if you'll just hang on 1 second, I'm getting ready to do a commercial, and then when I do the commercial, I'll come back and introduce you. Sharita, don't go too far. Love you. Thank you so much.
Love you, too. Mm-hmm.
What is this?
What's what? What's that? Savannah, sweetheart, what is that? Why are you showing me those?
Don't you dare do that, Shelton. Don't you dare stand there and tell me that you have no idea what these are.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about you cheating on me. How could you do this?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I can't believe you did this to me. After all these years, after all the love I've given you, after everything that I've given to you.
But I don't.
Sheldon! Help me, please. My husband. He collapsed. I think he's had a heart attack.
If you want to find out what happened to Sheldon, you'll have to get a copy of Touched by an Angel by Victoria Christopher Murray and Princess F.L. Gooden. Happy reading.
Okay, I'm back. This is Princess with Truth Heals Hurt, and I'm excited to introduce my next guest. It takes a lot when people open up their lives to others to help, because you're revealing some secrets that everybody's not going to be comfortable with. I thank God for my next guest also. Just like Sharita just opened up her life in transparent. Ezra, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I am so happy to have you on my show, too. Today is, we've had some detailed, some digging deep inside conversation. So you're getting ready to dig a little bit deeper for
yeah.
us. So I appreciate you saying you don't mind talking to us about addiction to porn. Do you know that I found out that there are a lot of people who have problems and addictions to porn? Women,
yes,
men, yes, it's a closet thing, you know. So first, tell me, was this something that started when you was little, or this is something that came as an adult?
Yes. First of all, I want to say thank you for allowing me to share my story on your radio station. It's truly a blessing to be able to release this to the people, because one thing I've realized, I've been in ministry for a long time, and that sometimes we can get so holier than thou that we forget about being real. And, you know, and we forget about being real. We begin to struggle more in the issue that we be dealing with. And
right.
With this addiction, it started when I was about 12 years old.
Okay.
I was the youngest of five children, and a lot of times I would be at home alone after school until my mom got home from work, or either my sister them got out of school before my mom got home.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I remember picking up a videotape, and I put it in the VCR player, and I thought it was just an ordinary movie, but when I put the movie in, I began to watch the movie, and even though at 12 years old, never had sex and did not understand what I was watching, I didn't know that it would affect my life so much spiritually, even though it felt good to me naturally.
Right, right.
And as the years passed, at 17, I gave my life to Christ, and Christ came into my life, and I was delivered from it. But somewhere down the line, as I got older, I strayed away from God. And when I strayed away from God, this seed that was planted in me from watching this as a child, it begins to come back.
Right.
And
that's the truth.
I remember that it took me a long time to really just say, okay, I'm tired of dealing with this struggle. I'm tired of dealing with this issue, because, you know, as a young minister, you don't understand what your ministry really is until you have experienced something way beyond your understanding.
Right.
And
that's true.
With, mm-hmm. Yeah. And with this situation, God began to minister to me even in the midst of this struggle. I was singing, I was preaching, and even in the midst of preaching and singing, I was still having this addiction behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I got to the place where I began to just cry out to God. And I began to talk to God, and I say, God, how can I be your man of God? How can I be your servant? How can I preach your word? And behind closed doors, I have this thorn in my flesh that seemed like it just will not go away. And I truly believe when the words say all things work together for the good of those that love
Amen.
The Lord and are called according to his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And God began to minister to me, and God said, I'm not going to deliver you until I'm through with you. And what he was meaning when
now,
he
that's
said
powerful.
That, he said, because.
That's
yeah. And I was kind of shocked. I was like, okay, God, is this you speaking? You're saying you're not going to deliver me from this struggle. And I know this is not you that I'm watching. I know this has nothing to do with who you are. But then he said, because I'm going to deliver you, and when I deliver you, you're going to be anointed enough to help somebody else come out of this issue. And then
let me tell you this right quick. Oh, I don't want to cut you off. You know, it's a slight delay. I want you to stay right there for just a moment for somebody that's listening. Because a lot
yes.
of times we think because we get saved that all of our sins are going to be just washed away and put in the sea of forgetfulness. You know how we jumble up the scripture and put them all together.
Yes.
So a lot of us think that because we all have issues, first of all. So we think
yes.
that once we get saved and give our lives to Christ, that we are supposed to come out unblemished, and, you know, we get to keep secrets about what we used to be. So I want you to tell me, like you just said, God said he wasn't going to, he wasn't going to let that go until he delivered you, pretty much. So when you say that, was it a constant battle? Because then you have this problem that you want to feed into. You want to see the porn. You know, whatever your addictions are, you still want to do it. But you know you're walking with Christ. And so a lot of people don't understand that. But I will tell you, for me, I get that. I get that totally. So for you, what was that struggle like to still have that problem and still minister to people?
Well, it was kind of a battle of confusion and really not understanding. Okay, mm-hmm. Here I am, God. I'm crying out to you. You're telling me that if I confess my faults unto you, that you are faithful and you are just to cleanse me and deliver me and forgive me from all unrighteousness. But here I am mm-hmm. confessing this thing to you, and then you tell me you're not going to deliver me until you're done dealing with me in this issue. And
mm-hmm.
the amazing thing about this, God began to minister to me and show me why people are so strongly addicted to this mess.
Mm-hmm.
See, we get it as if in the flesh that we're just watching a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But in the spirit, you're opening up doors.
Okay.
Number one, you open up the door for one king spirit. And that
mm-hmm.
one king spirit is called the spirit of perversion.
Mm-hmm.
And in the spirit of perversion, it bursts out spirits of homosexuality. It
right.
bursts out fornication.
Mm-hmm.
It bursts adultery. Because mm-hmm. a lot of times when you watch these movies, you're not realizing that these are somebody else's husband and wife that you're watching.
That's the truth. Mm-hmm.
You're not understanding that a lot of these people are homosexual and bisexual.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And I know mm-hmm. for And people don't understand that. We see this. I never in my life thought that I would be the one that God would use to see these type of things. And when God, when he really started dealing with me real heavy with it, God began to show me this demon that operates in the spirit of perversion. And this demon, it transferred from a male to a female.
Okay. Mm.
And one day I was in my room and I was praying and I was asking God, I say, God, okay, God, here I am coming to you again. I'm tired of this issue. I'm tired of this struggle. But then I heard God say, be still, watch. And as I began to watch, all of a sudden this spirit appeared before me. And when it appeared before me, it began to form itself into a snake.
Ooh.
And it began to crawl up on me. And when it crawled up on me, all of a sudden it appeared as a woman.
Wow.
And this woman, she began to deal with me and rub on me sexually. And the thing that made me so irritated with it, because I heard this spirit saying, I bet you don't want to call on Jesus now.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And when I begin to hear that, I say, okay, God, now I see I've gone too far.
Right.
Now I see I've allowed this thing to get out of control in my life, because the key way for a lot of this to enter into your life when people get addicted to porn, I know for myself from hands-on experience, it comes from self-esteem issues. Everybody wants to be loved. And me, as my personal experience, growing up as a child, when I first got addicted to it, I had low self-esteem so bad because I was a heavyset young man. And growing up, you know, it's hard to be accepted in the world when you're big. And so people make it feel like you're not worthy to be loved, or and you're seeking for this love and this attention, but you cannot get it. So what happened, I was more into the pornography behind closed doors, because even though I was in God, I wasn't dwelling in his presence.
Right, that's true. Yeah.
And if you go back and you read about David. David was a man after God's own heart. We've heard so much about David after God's own heart, David the shepherd boy, but we never heard about David with the issue. See, David was a man who had an issue. When he was on the king's roof and he saw Bathsheba, there was something in the inside of him that was already planted. But it just awakened when he saw Bathsheba naked.
Right.
And so what happened was, when he saw her naked, instead of the seed being destroyed, he allowed the seed to grow.
Yeah.
And
you know what?
Grew,
go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. And when the seed grew, he began to lust after this woman, and he used his power of him being king and said, I want her. So he sent for her. And when he sent for her, he not only did he open up the doors of committing adultery, but then there were other spirits that attached themselves to David. He became a con artist. He brought the woman husband from the battle so that he could go lay with his wife once she found out she was with child. But this is David, though. David, the man after God's own heart. So what makes David any different from the man of God that I am, or the woman of God that this woman may be who is struggling with this same issue? It doesn't make us no different.
Right, that's
but
the truth.
God, it's amazing how so many people cover it up because, okay, I understand, we repent. Yeah, God, forgive me for all of my sin. Yeah, but if the seed is never taken care of, you have to allow this spirit to be destroyed from the root.
Wow.
See, we don't understand that when the spirit of lust comes upon you, not only does it attaches itself to you, but it can control you in the format of causing you to do things that you never thought you would be doing. I guarantee you a lot of people never imagined that they will be homosexual and lesbian, or they will be committing adultery on the woman or the man that they think that they are in love with.
Right, that's true.
But because this thing never was taken care of when the seed was first planted, then it became an issue for you. But
and
one
you know,
day,
let me ask you a question right quick. So when you, okay, this addiction that you have, we're talking about how it turns into different other things, which is the truth, the Lord knows. You're really hitting on some very valuable points, and I pray that the listeners are catching what you're teaching and preaching, you know, today. What I have learned from most people, like you said, we all have these things, and it's a spirit, and it comes. When that spirit would come, would you have a desire of some sort, or was this something that you just had to do? Like, you know, some people have an addiction of smoking. They don't necessarily have to have a reason to smoke. Then there are some people who have addictions that they have to have a reason. Like some people drink when they're depressed, and so they're addicted to alcohol. Did you have any reasons for this, or is this just something that you just found entertaining?
It wasn't entertaining. Truly, when you're born again and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there is a conviction. There is a conviction behind everything that you do that is not of God. But even in the conviction, my flesh still hungered and thirst for this porn, because put it like this, I was straddling with a bipolar syndrome in the spirit. My heart was crying out to God, but my flesh was crying out to the porn, because God's presence filled my heart, but my flesh was pleased only through watching the porn.
Gotcha. Okay.
But
So then when you battling with this situation. Okay, so then we get to the point where you're continuing to walk in the gifts that God has given you. I can't wait till they hear your other character. I want to have you back on the show as your character. I enjoy your videos. Haven't seen as many of them. I need you to do some more, because we just never know. You never know who's watching. You know, a lot of times people, let's just tell the truth, we don't like the post. We don't comment on the post. We don't tell you to keep going, but we nose in and we watch it. So you'll know. I was watching, so I can't wait till people meet that part of that side of you. But I want to say this. I know for me, I have had some issues, and that I'm going to share throughout my show. When God was working on me, I kept saying, "You're God. You can take this from me. You can get this from me. I don't have to suffer with this. You know, move this temptation from me." And then one day I remember God saying to me, "I was tempted, but I did not allow temptation to take over me." You know, so he knew to respond to the enemy and move on. You know, he didn't fall into the temptation. For me, though, I would fall into the temptation, and then I'd be like, "Oh, Father God, forgive me, forgive me." And he has forgiven me over and over and over again. But I remember my uncle saying, and you tell me if this happened with you when deliverance started coming. I remember my Uncle Garland saying one day he was sitting on the car, and he was he liked to drink. And I remember him saying that the beer fell from his hand because he was tired of drinking, and he never drank again. Do you feel like God also delivers us when we really want to be delivered? Do you think that some of us don't really want to be delivered when we cry, you know, when we say?
Well, I'm not going to necessarily say that we don't want to be delivered, because when you're in love with God,
yes,
you want to please God. When I was struggling with the issue that I had, one more unique thing that God said to me that really blew me away. I joined under a powerful ministry of Healing Water Outreach Ministry, where my apostle is Jesse Robertson and Prophet Dana Robertson. And when I joined their church, as many songs I've sang and many churches that I sing, it dawned on me that I was a worshiper.
Mm-hmm.
And God came to me one day and he said, the reason why I have allowed you to struggle for so long in this issue is because I'm going to deliver you in your worship.
Mm-hmm.
See, when he told me that he would deliver me in my worship, what he means that the trueness of my worship will be birthed out through my struggle.
Okay,
see,
yeah, I can
people,
see that.
Yeah, and see what people don't understand, when true repentance come upon you and you truly repent, it brings you, it's a grief that calls you to want more of God. And when
yes.
I got to the place where it had got overbearing in my life and God saw that it got overbearing, then the worshiper was birthed out of me. And when I began to worship God, my deliverance began to come forth. Because he said, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. And what he mm-hmm. means that once you dwell in the secret place, that means you live in his presence. And when you live in his presence, you abide under his shadow. So when you abide under his shadow, you're no longer recognized. And
mm-hmm.
see, people they want the anointing, but they don't want to go through something in order to receive the anointing. God
right.
never said what type of struggle you will struggle with in order to receive the anointing. It just said that you will go through.
And that doesn't mean either that you don't have the anointing because you're struggling with something. You know, I think a lot of people are judgmental, and we want, like I said, people to be squeaky clean just because they say they've been called, they're pastors, they're, you know, ministers. Just because you have a title doesn't make you just be white as snow, you know. So I am glad that you were, that you stayed in your struggle. Let me tell you why I'm glad that you were able to stay there. Until God delivered you, because if I have a problem, I don't want to talk to somebody who doesn't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? I want somebody who, when I get to talking, you know, and going into details, they can relate. I don't want somebody who went into the struggle, you know, okay, he is addicted to porn, but he just stopped after two videos. So then he won't realize what happened to me once I, you know, switch over to something else. You know what I'm saying? But because you went through a process, because you also, as a child, you did it, then you came back, like you said, as an adult. See, that's two different levels. So you can
yes.
actually help children, you can talk to the young people, and then you can talk to the older people about this addiction. You can talk to them about how you felt when doing the process. See, that's why I'm glad that you did not just set you free out of it, or, you know, you did not get that immediate healing, because a lot of times we want that quick, fast, you know, anointing.
Yes, yes.
You know
but,
what I'm saying?
But,
so
but,
I'm glad.
But if Jesus was the Son of God,
mm-hmm.
and he was sent here from heaven to be the example.
Yes.
When Jesus went through what he went through of being persecuted, beat, spit on, whipped to the flesh, fell from his bone, then he had
mm-hmm.
to carry his own cross, then he had to be nailed to the cross. The Bible never said that it wasn't going to be hard to go through.
Right.
Even though Jesus was the Son of God, I can imagine what his flesh felt like, because he was in flesh. The Bible says, for the Word came in flesh. So he was the Word in flesh, even though he knew who he was, but because he was in flesh, didn't the Bible say that he even cried for the cup to pass over?
Yeah.
That's because the issue of him knowing that he was getting ready to have to go through this process, that we can be redeemed, it kind of got him a little weary a little bit. So my thing is, what I want to encourage people is, even though you have a struggle, even though you have an issue, don't give up on God because you're struggling with this issue. Let
right.
God make you and let him deal with you. Stay focused. Stay in his word. Stay prayed up. Go into a Bible-based church that preach Bible and not those churches that want to cause you to be in the mindset of enslavement by controlling you.
It's a difference. If David never had did what he did with the struggle that he had when he lusted after Bathsheba, then there would never have been a Psalm 51 when he cried out to God.
Right, and then you think about it, he was constantly crying out. You know, what is going to... I have seen it where God does a quick fast and, you know, quick fast move. I've experienced it myself, but then like some of my struggles, I'm still dealing with them, or I've had to deal with them. Let me ask you this: as you begin your delivering, was your deliverance once it started taking place, was it a process of deliverance, or did you just one night just did not do it anymore?
It was a process. It was a mm-hmm. process of deliverance, because there were so many years invested in watching this pornography. And what people don't understand is that when you open up those type of doors, spirits attach themselves to you. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times you will be sitting around and you will not think that your mind would wander and go to this place, and wondering why your mind going to this place. It has nothing to do with who you are. It has something to do with what has attached itself to you. This is why we must be very cautious and be very aware of what we watch and what we allow to enter into us. Because I don't care how Holy Ghost filled you are, how many times you speak in tongues, when you mm-hmm. open up the door, you give the enemy access. The Bible says give no room to the devil.
Yeah.
But I thank mm-hmm. God. I thank God for allow me to go through the struggle and the issue that I went through, because it allowed me to now fall in love with God like I've never been in love with him before. Because when I look back over all the struggling that I did and the issue and the things that I did through this struggle, God still spared me. He still had could have cut me off at any time, because here I am saying, I'm the man of God. Here I am standing in front of people, preaching and singing songs to God, but yet behind closed doors, I was still dealing with this issue. But God said, because my love is sufficient, my God, and because I am with you, I will not destroy you in this. So what he did, he turned it around to be my testimony so that I can help somebody else come out of this issue.
Right. That's what our lives are for. I can't have peachy. I'm telling you, with all the stuff that I deal with, I like talking to real people. I want to hear it straight. You know, I want to know what can help heal me. That is one of the reasons why I started this show. Now, we're coming down to 2 minutes left in the show. I see my mommy on the line. I love it, love it, love it when I see my mommy, because we have distance between us. She's always supporting me. It makes me want to cry. She's always supporting me. We're going to do the Mother's Day show together. So if any of you that are listening would like to call in and give a shout out to your mother on Mother's Day, just say some kind words. It's going to be recorded. So if they can't listen to it at that time, they'll be able to go back and listen to the recording. Let me say, we have 90 seconds. So is there any way that we can contact you right quick before I play the outro?
Yes, you can find me on Facebook, Ezra Isaiah Dennis. That's the place that you can mostly contact me on, because I check my Facebook every day, and I use it as part of my ministry. So you can find me on Facebook, Ezra Isaiah Dennis.
I thank you so much. I appreciate your transparency. I appreciate you, Sharita. I thank you for staying on the line. I'm closing out now, and you all hang on.
Oh, no, it's time to go. But I'll be back next week, same day, same time, but with a different guest. I'm out. Oh, oh, oh.
Next week's guest is going to be the Reverend Felica R. Thompson and my sister Paige Jackson. You can go to Facebook to find out what their topics are going to be. And I am so excited that you all tuned in with me today. I thank each and every one of you that are either listening online or by telephone. And again, I love you, and I pray that this truth healed your hurt.
Amen.